Michael Koenig is back on the show this afternoon. If you've watched any televised poker in the last several years on Fox Sportsnet, you've seen him either as a participant or most likely as the analyst on the broadcasts. He also appeared on the World Series of Blackjack and has written some absolutely terrific books and columns through the years about gambling. First time I had him on the show was, I guess, back in 1999 when he came out with a book called The Man with the $100,000 Breasts. And then again when he came out with another gambling book called Telling Lies and Getting Paid. He's back with a new one now, his first in 4 years, on the subject of gambling. It's called The Smart Money, How the World's Best Sports Bettors Beat the Bookies Out of Millions. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Paul, it's great to be back with you.
Nice to have you on, and nice to have you writing about gambling again after forays into dogs and golf.
I'll tell my mutt you said so.
I appreciate that. The book is about how you joined up with one of the most successful sports bettors of all times to beat the sports books in Las Vegas at their own game.
That's right.
Okay. How much money did you make? I don't mean for the book. I mean helping out this big bettor.
Boy, talking about cutting to the chase.
Well, let's go.
Well, I'll tell you. I went in there when I first started betting on sports with the Brain Trust, or the Brains as they are known around Vegas. I was purely a recreational bettor. You know, if there was a game on TV and I had a sort of half-sharp opinion, I might bet $100 or $200 on it. When I started with the Brain Trust, my average bet went up to about $30,000 a game. And by the end of the first season, I looked at my account sheet and I was up more than $900,000 in profits.
Now, when you say you were up, do you mean you were up or the Brain Trust was up?
I was up. The Brain Trust was up significantly more than many millions.
Now, the money that you were betting on this was not your money, right?
I had a piece of it, and the way groups like the Brain Trust work are that they at the top there is a general, and in the case of the Brain Trust, it's Rick Big Daddy Matthews, the best sports bettor of all time.
Is that his real name?
That is not his real name, and no, I was not forced to call him Big Daddy whenever I addressed him. But I had to change some names and identifying details to protect people's privacy, but all the actions described in the book are 100% true. And when I was working with this group, basically Rick is the general of a very large organization which includes professional handicappers, statisticians, and most important, people who can go out and bet the games. Somebody like Rick Matthews can't just waltz into Caesar's Palace and bet a game without them going nuts and without them moving the line wildly. They know he's the smart money. So he's always looking for people who can convincingly sell an act to the casino to give them the impression that, hey, this is just some Hollywood party boy who's looking for action, and certainly he can't hurt us.
Now, it's important to explain that when you say they know he's the smart money and so he can't go in there and make these big bets, some people might be thinking, look, you're the sports book. You're open for the public to come in and make bets of any kind they want, and maybe you put limits on those, but how can you refuse a customer who wants to come in and make a legal bet on anything?
Well, you know, I guess I should clarify. You're right. It really is not so much as, like, we will charge you with trespassing, but in his case, they really don't want him around there because he has extracted so many millions of dollars from the casinos. But it is more like this, Paul. Okay, the general customer who comes into Caesar's Palace and wants to bet on an NFL football game, they will generally allow that customer to bet up to, say, $20,000 on an NFL game. For the smart money, the casino will probably let them bet $1,000 on the game. And after they have bet that $1,000, they will move the line a point and a half or two to discourage other smart bettors from taking that side. And it gets away from the sort of standard bookie business model, which is try to attract business on both sides of the game, pay the winners with the losers' money, and keep the vig, keep the juice. These days, Paul, the bookies are absolutely petrified of being bet by the smart money. they understand that groups like the Brain Trust know more about the point spread and the line than anybody else in the world, and that leaves the casinos and the bookmakers completely vulnerable to getting beat for big numbers.
And what's funny is that the guys who run these sports books, and I'm friends with Bob Scucci, who used to run the Stardust sports book until they announced last year, well, this year, actually, it's about to come down, and so he said, no building, no job, and so he's not there anymore, but he ran it for several years. I don't know if you ever ran into Bob, but in my dealings with him, and he would come on and we would talk about all sorts of things on a regular basis on my show. He would say, you know, everybody thinks that it's about getting even money on both sides. But the fact of the matter is I like people who are going to come in and bet up one side when I know that the other side is going to do well, because then I'm going to win against them unless something flukish tends to happen, which is exactly what you guys and the Brain Trust were trying to do, which was get an edge of some kind and win. The question is, how do you get that edge? Because while Rick Matthews, Big Daddy, and the rest of the people who were part of your team think they know what they're doing, don't these guys in the sports book also, aren't they really good at their jobs?
They are very good, and that is why they can beat 99.9% of sports bettors. That is why almost nobody over the course of a very long season or several years in a row can do much better than 50-50 against the spread. But the ones that can, and it's literally the proverbial one in a million, people like Rick Matthews, it's like a license to print money, because if you can continually win six and lose four over the course of a career, that dough is just going to stack to the ceiling. And the point spread is strong, and it is accurate, and it does get the money from most recreational gamblers. But the Brain Trust, armed with the brains and with the computing ability to figure out what all this data means, knows more about the relative power of these sports teams than anybody else.
It's a big business, and they're making tons and tons of money at it, and they're worried about guys like this guy coming in and betting huge amounts of money, and you're the one who is going and doing that. At the same time, armed with that knowledge, did you ever say, okay, I'll put down a $30,000 bet for Big Daddy, and I'll maybe get my little commission off of that, 5 or 10%. At the same time, why don't I put down $1,000 of my own money, and I'll bet with him, and then I'll make 100% of that $1,000?
Very natural impulse, and I'm not going to tell you I never had it, but the rules were very clear from the start. Big Daddy's rules were simple. You bet only on the games that I direct you to bet. You bet only at the numbers I tell you to bet, and you do not do any freelancing on the side. If you do, I will find out about it, and you will be terminated. And the reason why this rule is there is because the Brain Trust can almost never get down as much as they want on a game before the market gets upset. It's almost like a stock market, the point spreads. If everybody is investing in a certain stock, the price goes up in that stock, and then it becomes badly valued.
Yep.
You don't want to buy it anymore.
Right.
Same thing with the point spread. This weekend, there's a little football game going on in Ohio. Two teams from the Big Ten are playing this weekend. You may have heard about it. Ohio State and Michigan.
Yep.
Well, now, if everybody was betting on Ohio State, including the smart money, and they were just loading as much money as they could on the Buckeyes, the line is not going to stay at 7. It's going to climb and climb and climb, and eventually it is not going to be an attractive bet for anybody. In fact, the only attractive side is going to be the other side, Michigan. Well, in the case of the Brain Trust, they need every out available, because the average bet for the Brain Trust is around $500,000 a game.
Wow.
And that's the average bet, Paul. And when it's very attractive, and when the number is just wildly out of line, such as the 1998 Super Bowl, which we bet on, we try to get down $3 million on that game. So there's no room for anybody to go out and take any small piece for himself.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. Paul Harris talking with Michael Koenig. The book is called The Smart Money. When you guys were able to put millions of dollars down, that wasn't you, Michael, walking in and putting down that amount. There were how many other people involved who were kind of the spokes of the Brain Trust going out and literally putting cash across a counter?
dozens and dozens. And in the case of the 1998 Super Bowl, Paul, I only put down a pittance, a mere $288,000 myself.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm guessing in the years that you did this, and you've stopped doing it for it. You're not part of the Brain Trust anymore, right?
I no longer am, no.
You must have had friends begging you once they found out or had an inkling of what you were doing, please share this information. Did you ever do that?
I didn't, and there was two reasons for that. One, I really wanted to keep this part of my life secret from all except the closest family members and friends, because I still fancied myself as a journalist and as an author, and I did not want to be known as a smart money sports gambler. And second, the more people that know what the hot plays are and what the sharp sides are, the more security leaks you have. And again, it goes back to Big Daddy's initial dictum. You do not bet on anything that I have told you to bet on for yourself, and you certainly don't tell other people.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Afterward, I would tell them, you know, guys would call me right after kickoff on Sunday, okay, who are you on this weekend? And of course, I would tell them. But I was not allowed to tell before.
Now, Michael, you say, you know, you wanted to maintain the author part of this, the integrity part of it, I guess, is what you're trying to tell me here. But I've read the book, and I know what you and Vivian were doing in Las Vegas on the weekends. you were getting comped up to you-know-what, and you were going to the spas, and you were hanging out with strippers, and you were getting all the meals you wanted, and you were loving the lifestyle, weren't you?
I was. And it was like Monday through Friday. I was an ink-stained wretch back in Los Angeles, writing my magazine stories, writing my books, being a good working man. And on the weekend, it was like this parallel universe. It's like Mr. High Roller comes out, and I'm living this sort of, you know, James Bond fantasy lifestyle. And it was very, very seductive, Paul. I mean, it was, there were times where I would pinch myself and say, this is just so surreal. I'm in a hotel room in Las Vegas with $250,000 in cash stacked on the bed.
Yeah.
It's just very strange.
And I've been there.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, Vegas. I haven't had the cash on the bed. I've been in Vegas and in a room with a bed. That's the closest I came to that. The rest of that story there.
I'll tell you, and there was one weekend, the second weekend I was ever worked for the Brain Trust, we had had two tremendous weeks in a row right out of the box, and I had already had planned a trip for the third week, so I couldn't be there for the third weekend. So instead of leaving all the money in the cage at the casino, Big Daddy ordered me to withdraw it because he was afraid if something happened to me while I was away on my trip, he wouldn't be able to get at the money. So I literally had to withdraw $840,000 in cash.
In cash, not a cashier's check.
Stuff it in a laundry bag, a Caesar's Palace laundry bag, and drive it in my rental car to a gas station to deliver it to the man himself. And as I'm doing this, I'm just thinking, what has my life come to?
Did you ever
like
do
an Elmore Leonard novel?
Did you and Vivian ever do that thing that we see in the movies? You know, they put it on the bed and then roll around in it.
No, it was always stacked into nice little $10,000 bricks.
I want to ask you a little bit about the NFL and their winking at the notion of betting on their games. You know,
sure,
their lines are printed in every newspaper. You can go to any sports website and see mm-hmm. what the line is for all of their games this weekend. They print information. They mandate that the teams are upfront about medical information.
Injuries reported every Thursday.
Yeah, they know this stuff is going on, and yet with the other eye, you know, they're winking at us and saying, don't bet on sports. Is that pure hypocrisy on their part?
Couldn't be more hypocritical. And this is the fact about the NFL and, to an even greater extent, the fine scholar athletes from the NCAA. Most of these games generate interest not because they are fantastic athletic contests. Who the heck wants to watch Duke play Alcorn State?
Yeah.
Only people who are concerned to see if Duke is going to win by 38 points or more.
Right.
And these organizations, the NFL and the NCAA, know damn well that it is gambling that drives interest in their sports, especially in this day and age of parity in the NFL, where there really aren't that many dominant teams or superstar teams, where on any given Sunday it seems just about anybody can win the game. The thing that keeps people interested in watching two teams that are 3-6 play each other is the big question, who's going to cover the spread?
And what about the recent crackdown on online gambling? Seems pretty hypocritical to me also.
Tremendously hypocritical, particularly since in every state in the union, except I believe Utah, there is some sort of legally sanctioned gambling, whether it's a land-based casino or horse racing.
Or a lottery.
And that's the worst, Paul. I mean, these state lotteries, you know, the average takeout on a terrible slot machine is about 15%, which is just larcenous. State lotteries, it's close to 50% takeout, and it's a regressive tax on the poorest people in the state. It's an awful thing. So, I mean, you've got the government that is with one eye looking you in the eye and saying, we sanction gambling, and we actually stuff our state treasuries with gambling money, and then with the other eye telling you it's terrible for you to visit a licensed and bonded legitimate business in another country to make your sports bet.
Yeah. It's not like heroin. Heroin's illegal everywhere. But
right.
Betting on sports is not illegal everywhere. Gambling is not illegal everywhere. They've only decided to take it to that online level. Now, I talked about your high roller image there on the weekends. I mentioned that you've done the World Series of Poker, the World Series of Blackjack. During that time, did you go to the Bellagio poker room and sit down at the big game and, you know, okay, well, you know what? I got to play up my big image here, so I'm going to sit down with Doyle and the boys.
Actually, there was one point which I describe in my book, The Smart Money, where I was getting so much heat in Las Vegas from various sportsbook managers who were starting to sort of catch on, where they were starting to get an inkling, like, this guy's not as dumb as he pretends he is, that I actually tried to stage a huge poker match with a high-rolling poker friend of mine, whose name has changed in the book, but he is in fact one of the poker celebrities that you see on TV all the time. And the idea was we were going to play a big match, you know, like a 1,000, 2,000 blind match heads up, and we just split up the money at the end. And we would give the impression to anybody that was watching that, man, I don't know where Koenig got all this money, but this guy has got a lot of gambling.
But it never came off?
It didn't have to come off because I was basically persona non grata before I could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, the days in Vegas for big-time sports bettors have become very limited. You know, the town, even with its billion-dollar resort casinos, it really is not a sports betting town anymore. And Vegas has almost handed the business to these offshore guys.
But Big Daddy's not out of business. He's just moved it.
Big Daddy himself is indeed out of business.
Oh, yeah?
The Brain Trust is not out of business. The Brain Trust still operates. They are still the greatest force in sports betting. And the character in my book known as Brother Herbie, the former monk who was Big Daddy's right-hand man, he now is the head of the Brain Trust.
Did you have any trust issues when you got into this, and did you have any when you left?
I had trust issues when I got into it, but it's really hard to not trust guys who are happy to hand you $250,000 in cash. And, you know, I actually always wondered, like, why the heck do they trust me so much? And in the early goings of my career, I felt like I was being surveilled. I felt like my every move, I was being watched. And within a couple of weeks, it was confirmed to me that, in fact, they were shadowing me early on just to see what I did, make sure I wasn't giving away the plays, make sure I wasn't doing any freelance betting on my own.
So you had to watch out for the guys who you were working for and also the ones you were working against, which were the casino sports books.
Absolutely, and I had to always be careful to make sure my phone conversations were not being listened to, that I wasn't being followed. And eventually, I discovered that, yeah, my team did trust me, and I trusted them. And, you know, when you're dealing with, at the height of my involvement with the Brain Trust, I myself had about $3 million under my personal control. And you've got to have trust when you're dealing with that much cash.
I guess. At any point, did you run into Brian, the man with the $100,000 breath? Does he still have them? Do you know?
Believe it or not, and this is it pains me to even tell you this, yes, he does still have his
It's
breath.
7 or 8 years later. Michael, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, the guy clearly has, and you know, Paul, he's married, and he has children, and he still has his breast.
Yeah.
And he still shaves them regularly.
No!
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't believe some of the stories you told me years ago, but you know, in reading your books, I have become much more a believer in these things and this unbelievable world of gambling that none of us really have any idea about in the lay public. In reading this book, I was just absolutely fascinated, not just by the lifestyle that you were leading as your alter ego 44 on the weekend, but also in the stories of what was going on behind the scenes, both in the brain trust and in the sports books. And for that, I thank you for yet another great book. Congratulations.
Paul, I appreciate it, and I will look forward to talking to you again around bowl game time, and we can make sure we're on the right side with the smart money.
Absolutely. The Smart Money is the name of the book, How the World's Best Sports Bettors Beat the Bookies Out of Millions. Michael Koenig here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.